If you turn with me then to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 8, and then we'll read verse 12 and verse 13. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore is it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days? Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. Dear congregation, we are to submit to Christ in all things. He is God, and thus he is over all. He is king and head of his church. Therefore, as subjects, we are to bow the knee. It is not for us to question his authority and the way he interprets the law. No, it is for us to submit. We have those well-known words in Matthew chapter 11 in the previous chapter, verse 28, come unto me. And then we read in verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. We're to listen to him. We've been drawn by grace. We are to listen to him. He is the great teacher, and he is the king and head of the church. Well, our Lord gave certain instruction here to certain ones that were listening on, who some of them would question his authority. Well, he makes it plain in verse 8, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. Now, upon a certain Sabbath, in Luke chapter 6, verse 1, we read it was the second Sabbath. Our Lord and his disciples go through the corn, as we note in verse 1. The second Sabbath. We cannot be certain which, and none of the commentators can say certainly which one it is. Some say it was the second day or the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Some say it was the second of the seven Sabbaths between Passover and Pentecost. We cannot be certain. However, we read in verse 1, at that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were a-hungered, and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. The Pharisees were displeased. Well, our Lord, as we see in the reading, justifies the action of his disciples. And they were to remember he was the Lord and is the Lord of the Sabbath. He has the right to and justly interprets the law. And we are to submit to him. Verse 8, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. Now in verses 10 through to verse 13, following on, we see the Lord showing mercy to a man who had a withered hand on the Sabbath day. And there was no violation of the law. The Lord is the Lord even of the Sabbath day. And oh, I am so thankful for that, that much mercy has been shown to me on the Christian Sabbath day. We've known much mercy, particularly for our soul. And we're thankful that the Lord is the Lord of the Sabbath day, even of the Sabbath day. Well, this morning, the Lord willing, I'd like us to consider, first of all, the teaching of Christ. Secondly, the opposition to Christ. And then thirdly, the mercy of Christ. The teaching of Christ, the opposition to Christ, and then thirdly, the mercy of Christ. Well, come with me to verse 8. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. He gives instruction. And he does in verse 12. How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. It's lawful to do well. He is the great teacher giving instruction. And as we see in verse 29 of the previous chapter, he not only is the teacher, but he is the lesson. I am meek and lowly in heart. What a lesson. And we're to seek to follow his example. We need to consider it pray over it, meditate on it, and follow it. We're to be often thinking of Christ. When we think of perfecting holiness, we must often go and consider Christ. Because in perfecting holiness, one is led to be more like Christ. So how often we need to think of Christ? Each day. For is it not our concern to be more holy each and every day? So our minds must go to Christ. We must read of Christ. And we must meditate on his example and seek to follow. Now in 1 Peter 2 verse 21 we read, "For even hereunto when were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." In the way he suffered, he turned the other cheek. He was silent at times. So not only in the way he suffered, but also in the way he lived his life here upon earth. And the example we have in the scriptures for us today. In all things, we are to seek to follow his steps. Oh, to be nearer to Christ. At times I feel I'm so far away. Yes, I see him out front, but there's a great distance. Oh, close the distance. Oh, that we would be more on the hills of Christ, as it were. Draw me closer. That's my desire. And I'm sure you're echoing those words yourself. You want to be drawn closer to Christ. You want people to see more of the Lord in the way you live. Oh, to follow his steps. We're children, aren't we? Oh, to follow our Saviour. Oh, we love Christ. We long to be more like him. Oh, to desire then to follow him more closely, to love him, and to keep his commandments in a humble, God-glorifying way. You recall what he said to his disciples in the upper room not long before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. "If ye love me, keep my commandments." John 14 verse 15. "If ye love me." We do. We feel our failings, don't we? But we long to follow the Lord, to keep his commandments. And to keep the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day. Now here he is, the Lord of the Sabbath. Now our concern today is the Christian Sabbath, where he's the Lord of the Sabbath day. There were certain Jewish Sabbaths other than the weekly Sabbath. Well, our concern is the Christian Sabbath day for those other rest days, known at Passover, are past now. Our concern is to follow Christ on the Lord's days, how he so acted on the Sabbath. Now we're not under the ceremonial, but we are still under the moral law, which is summed up in the Ten Commandments. And this is powerfully presented to us in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 19. Circumcision, which was part of the ceremonial, is nothing. And uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. There's a clear proof text to show that we are still under the moral law as a rule of duty. The ceremonial is past. That's so plain, isn't it? You know, there are some evangelicals who put all the commandments together. Well, how on earth then do we read 1 Corinthians 7 verse 19? Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. It's very plain, isn't it? The ceremonial is past, but not the moral law. That is not past. We're still under it, under the law to Christ. It's our rule book. Oh, we're to listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to follow his example. We're to consider him. Where the Lord has given the word. And we're to remember the Sabbath day. We're to follow his example. We're to remember it for his glory. We're to remember it each week. We're to observe it. We're to consider how the Lord teaches us through his word. We're to remember it. We're to engage in public and private acts of worship. how important that is. However, as we see here, the Lord permits works of mercy and necessity. Works of mercy and necessity on his day. Well, let's think first of all of worship. How important that is. He's given us this day that we might particularly focus on worshipping him. Now, it hasn't been easy at times over this last 6 months. But it's been our concern to worship the Lord. We haven't been able to gather together in public, but we've listened online and we've sought to worship the Lord. And then in private, in times of private worship and family worship, we've sought to worship the Lord on his day, to give attention to worshipping him. We listen, do we not? We have the example in Scripture. That's our great concern, isn't it? Yes, we're concerned to worship the Lord and give him the glory each and every day, but particularly on his day. To give him the worship that is due in public and in private. That's our chief concern on the Lord's day. And it's a foretaste of heaven. What will you and me be doing in heaven? Worshipping the Lord each and every day. It will be an eternal Sabbath. So it's a foretaste of heaven. Let's also consider though, the Lord permits works of mercy and necessity. What do we read here in verse 8? He is the Lord of the Sabbath day. How plain that is. That work of mercy. The disciples were hungry and there was no food. So they went through that field and they picked the ears of corn and they ate them. It was of mercy, but also of necessity. They needed food that day and there was not food. And then come with me to the account we read of earlier concerning the man with a withered hand. Verse 10, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days that they might accuse him? And it was. Of course it was, to show mercy. Now, note how the Lord uses an illustration here, verses 11 through to verse 12. And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep? And if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. It's lawful. You think of that shepherd. One of his animals, his sheep, is in distress, in a pit. Would he leave it? No. He would go and help that distressed animal. It would be an act of mercy on the Lord's day. And many godly farmers have done certain things which were acts of mercy on the Lord's day. It's an act of mercy, isn't it? If someone had a dog and it was in great distress, they would seek to help the dog. It would be an act of mercy. So then, if a sheep fell in a pit, the shepherd would go and help that distressed animal. Now, if it kept happening, as one of the Puritans said, the farmer or the shepherd ought to fill the pit in if it kept happening on the Lord's day. But do you see the act of mercy? And then notice what the Lord says in verse 12. How much then is a man better than a sheep? If we think of a shepherd going to help an animal, how much more should someone who is in great need be helped on the Lord's day? An act of mercy. And we're thankful, are we not, for some of you? You've been in hospital on the Lord's day and you're thankful for those who've worked, nurses, consultants, so on and so forth. Acts of mercy for those who are in need, for children who have their needs. There's acts of mercy to be done on the Lord's day. Acts of mercy and necessity. Now, we have learnt over these last 6 months, because of the particular situation we have found ourselves in, there have been more acts of necessity on the Lord's day. I think particularly for myself, with the technology, I never have done so much technology on the Lord's Day, but it's been an act of mercy and necessity. I look forward for me when it's not so much an act of necessity, and so I can leave it to the week. But there are acts of mercy and necessity, and that is lawful. Now just notice again what the Lord said in verse 12. Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. It's lawful. It's not a violation of the law. It's lawful. Acts of mercy. And so we are thankful for those who engage in acts of mercy and necessity. And we pray for them. And we pray for those who have to work in the hospitals and care homes on the Lord's Day, that they might know grace as they do their duty. For those Christians who are on duty in such places, that they might know grace on the Lord's Day. Well, we're to consider then what the Lord is teaching. We have the Lord's Day, the Christian Sabbath. We're to lay aside certain worldly employments and leisure pursuits for the other days of the week. It's the day for the Lord, yet the Lord permits acts of mercy and necessity. Oh, let's remember these things. As I ask myself, as I ask you, how have you done in these last 6 months? It's been challenging, hasn't it? It's not been easy. But we need to remember these things. What do we read in verse 8? For the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath day. Well, firstly then, the teaching of Christ. Secondly, the opposition to Christ. The opposition to Christ. Come with me to verse 2. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was a-hungered, and they that were with him? Now you see, the Pharisees, they were opposed to Christ. They wanted something so that they could accuse him. There was no love in their heart for the Lord. Now just notice such enmity in their hearts in verse 14. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. They were so opposed to Christ. They were so opposed to his teaching. He is the great teacher who justly and rightly interpreted the law. There was no violation in these acts of mercy, yet they were opposed to him. He did no wrong. There was no guile in his mouth. He was the spotless one. He taught perfectly. Never man spake like this man. The officers came back and told the Pharisees. Yet so many of them opposed him. They were against him. Now turn with me to Psalm 2. This psalm which presents to us so much of the Lord and the King, King Jesus. Psalm 2, verse 1 and 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. They were against the anointed, Christ the Messiah. Think of Herod, Pilate, others. Think of the Pharisees here. These religious leaders, they were against Christ. And they sought to trip him up. They wanted something that they could accuse him of, as we see in verse 10. They were opposed to him. So many today are opposed to our altogether lovely Saviour. Is there anyone here? You're not a Christian. You're in opposition. Yes, you may not say certain things, but you're not with Christ. You may be near the kingdom, but you're not in the kingdom. You're not a royal subject. And there's enmity in the heart. Oh, there's so many who are in enmity today. Yes, we're thankful over these last 6 months. There has been some interest. And we believe there have been some converts in this country. However, and it's a sad thing, isn't it? As we face the autumn and the winter, we haven't seen widespread repentance. We haven't seen hundreds and thousands turning to Christ in this country. Still, sadly, the majority of people oppose our beloved Saviour in this country. There's opposition to Christ. Now, before we come back to this, sadly, there's even opposition to Christ regarding the fourth commandment in the church. He is the Lord even of the Sabbath day. And we think of the Christian Sabbath, which is so plainly presented to us. We're under the law to Christ, all Ten Commandments, as we see in Corinthians. Yet there's opposition. Opposition to the fourth commandment. Opposition to the Lord's day. It's opposition to Christ. You know, the church as a whole should be at the feet of Jesus. And you know, there is blessing for the soul. It's a great feast day for the soul, isn't it? The Lord's day. Yet there's opposition to the Lord's day. Opposition. There are those who teach that we no longer need to remember the Sabbath day. They're simply wrong. The Lord is the Lord even of the Sabbath day. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. They're just so wrong. There's opposition. And there even could be opposition in our own hearts. Yes, we believe the fourth commandment, but sometimes there may be a whisper, well, don't worry about doing that today. No one's going to know. And there can be opposition. And yet the king looks on. Why do one of my children do that which is not right on the Sabbath day? But let's return then to this opposition with those who do not love Christ. Like the Pharisees here, there's great opposition. Now turn with me to John chapter 1. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Came to the Jews. He was the Messiah, but there was such blindness, and they did not receive him. Oh, just think of it, young ones, children. The Lord was in Galilee. The Lord was in Jerusalem. Lord willing, I hope to go out to Jerusalem one day. I've been given an invitation to go. I'd love to go there and see where the Lord walked. But just think, the Lord was there. The Lord was amongst the Jews, yet so many rejected him. We see it in Luke chapter 4. Yes, many were listening. They wondered at the gracious words, but later they wanted him gone. They didn't love him. Came unto his own, and his own received him not. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, these well-known words. Who have believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Oh, what he suffered in his humiliation. He was opposed. He was spoken against. He was despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows. You know, it's not a pleasant thing, is it? Children, when somebody rejects you, maybe doesn't want to play with you. I remember that happened often to me, particularly at dinner time. Used to line up for football, and they didn't pick me to the end. Well, I wasn't very good at football, and I didn't understand that. But it wasn't a nice feeling, was it? Not to be included, to be despised, looked down upon. That's such a wrong thing, isn't it? To look down. And yet people look down on Jesus. What do we desire to do? We desire to look up to Jesus every day. How can people look down? Yet they do. So many in this country look down on Jesus. He is their only hope. Remember those words in John 10, their precious words. I believe it was Robert McShane said it's some of the most sweetest words in Scripture. I am the door. I am the door. Oh, Christ is presented as the door. He's the only hope. Yet so many despise and reject him. Oh, what he suffered here upon earth. How he is rejected today. He's opposed. We will not have this man to reign over us, said the Jews. They opposed him. Remember what they cried out to not long before the cross, crucify him, crucify him. Oh, such rejection. And he is rejected today, and his commands. Oh, so many forget the Lord's Day. How many forget other commands? It's beginning to happen more often, isn't it? Oh, he is rejected. There was opposition to the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's consider further down. And finally, the mercy of Christ. The mercy of Christ. Come with me to verse 8. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. And he shows to these Pharisees that he rightly and justly interpreted the law. And so acts of mercy are permitted. Notice verse 7. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. See, the Pharisees, they boasted that they were religious. They interpreted the law correctly, but they didn't. They added their own glosses to the law. They didn't know the Lord. They didn't know the truth. If they had done, they would not have pointed the finger. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. He would not have condemned the guiltless. They were opposed to him. But oh, consider in closing how the Lord showed mercy. The Lord of mercy went with those disciples through the field. Verse 1, at that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were a-hungered, and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. What mercy. He doesn't say to them, no, we mustn't go through that field. No, he went with them. They took the corn, and they were provided for. What mercy. See how the Lord drew near and showed the mercy through his example. What mercy. Then come with me to this account with the man with a withered hand. Verse 10, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered, and they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? There's the Pharisees seeking to trip up our Lord. They put a question. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? Of course it is. Because the Lord justly and rightly interpreted the law, and there is mercy to be shown. Verse 12, how much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. What mercy. Oh, let's focus on the mercy of Christ. What mercy is displayed here. He helped those in distress. That's mercy, isn't it? Mercy is for those in need. The disciples were in need. This man was in need. And we have needs. And we're thankful that mercy is shown to us so often, including on the Lord's day. Mercy has been shown to us. The Lord has helped us. For some, we've known a little restoring on the Lord's Day. We felt a little better. That's true, isn't it? For others, particularly spiritually, we've known mercy to the soul. We may have been perplexed, cast down on the Lord's Day. It happens, doesn't it? And then we come to church and we're trying to focus, but we're struggling. But then something comes in the word, something comes in the preaching, and we feel our spirits lifted. Well, that's mercy, isn't it? And are we not thankful that the Lord at the Sabbath shows us mercy spiritually on the Lord's Day? What mercy! We have a Heavenly Father who pities us, like as the Father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. The Father shows mercy. The Son shows mercy. And the Holy Spirit shows mercy. You think of this, young ones, can I illustrate this? If you find a verse of scripture coming home to you and you feel your soul being lifted, the Holy Spirit has shown mercy. He's taken and applied that verse Are we not thankful that our triune God shows us mercy on the Sabbath days through the word? And I tell you this, it's the best day of the week, isn't it? Because it's the day in our lives we look back when we have been most blessed through Christ. And mercy has been displayed in a wonderful way. Mercy on the Sabbath day. And it's my prayer you might know much more mercy from the King on the Sabbath day, particularly in a spiritual way. That when you're perplexed in view of the coming week, he might bring that calm to you. Oh, he is so skilled in bringing tranquility to the soul. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Oh, when we find that peace, and our soul is calmed at the beginning of the week. And children, when does the week begin? It's not Monday, is it? It's the Lord's Day. Oh, when we know that calming. And yes, we may still have our concerns, but oh, we can say it is well. And all will be well. What mercy! You know, I suggest Christ has shown so much mercy on the Lord's Day. He's helped us so much, has he not? Well, we're to follow in his steps. We're to show mercy on the Lord's Day. Maybe somebody's in need and we can go and help them. Maybe somebody's fallen over. Maybe somebody's upset and we can just speak a word of mercy. In order to help them in some way, in mercy and pity, we go and we speak to them and we speak a word of comfort. Mercy. Let's follow Christ's example. Let's have pity in our hearts on the Lord's Day. And as we draw to a close, do we not pity those who are strangers to Christ on the Lord's Day? We have a banquet. What do they have on the Lord's Day? Not much, really, is it? Nothing for the soul. But we have a banquet, and so we pity them. You know, I've been thinking of this as we think of the year and how will it unfold. Oh, in some way that I would speak more, give out more leaflets, maybe, something like that. That I might point people to Jesus, that they might know mercy in a spiritual way on the Lord's Day. Oh, that many would know mercy on the Lord's Day. Oh, let us have a heart of pity. And let's be thankful for this as I close. If we find ourselves distressed and troubled on the Lord's Day, we have a high priest who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was touched with the feeling of the infirmity of this man. He's touched with his people's infirmities. He's touched. And are we not thankful on the Sabbath day? Jesus is touched with our infirmities. He has a heart for us. And so he delights to draw near and speak through the word that he might lift us. Here is mercy on the Lord's Day. Why do some in the Christian church want to despise and have done with the Lord's Day? I want more of the Lord's Day. Because I've been so blessed on the Lord's Day through my Saviour. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And what's one of the reasons we're going to rejoice on this day? Because Jesus shows me mercy. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord bless his word. Amen. Let us pray.